All right. I think, in fairness to people who are waiting, we ought to move on. We've got two very interesting papers today, I think. The first one is on the planning of a continuous cycle route along the harbour front. Clearly, a lot of work has gone into this by the proponents, and I think when they join us, we should acknowledge that. This is a well-worked, seriously thought-out proposal, and I think we should recognise it as that. Obviously, there are challenges in delivery, as there always are, but this is something that we're going to have to address as a commission, and government's going to have to address that in terms of policy as well. What is the role of cycling? Is it just a leisure pursuit, or is it a means of transportation? But no doubt that will come out in our discussion. Welcome, gentlemen. Welcome. We have, I think, Mr. Martin Turner. We have Mr. Sylvester Wong, Mr. Shankar Leung, and Nick Andrew, I believe. Thank you very much. Great. You, I believe, have provided hard copies of your presentation, but if I may, could we distribute those to members at the end of your presentation? Because I think my view is they're better focusing on the screen than trying to leaf through lots of pieces of paper. So if you're happy, we'll focus on the screen.
Just one point, Chairman. The handouts are not actually the presentations, which will be on the screen. They're a printed out form of the supplement of our previous paper.
All right, okay. Well, perhaps members shouldn't get distracted then. Please, thank you. But could I formally welcome you? And could I? One of the first things I would like to say is, could I congratulate you on a very well-prepared and well thought-through document. It makes the life of the Commission, if you like, so much easier when you've done a lot of our homework for us. So thank you very much for that. I think it is a very well-conceived document. Obviously, challenges in terms of delivery, but why don't you take us through your thoughts and the way you see solving this issue and challenge, if you like. Can you get through in 20 minutes?
I think so, depending on how thoroughly Sylvester goes over the route.
Because the shorter you keep it, the more comments you'll get, so it's up to you. Okay.
I'll do our best.
Off you go. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Chairman, and good afternoon, everyone. It's very good to be here. On behalf of Hong Kong Cycling Alliance, we very much appreciate this opportunity to look at the possibility of a continuous harbourfront cycleway with you. It's actually a bit of a well-kept secret that there's a lot of cyclists on Hong Kong already, cycling up and down the northern shore of Hong Kong Island. There are plenty of not only the delivery cyclists that perhaps have been noticed, but also commuters and even some more sporting types. But cyclists do have a tendency to get missed. There was a notable campaign in Britain showing how drivers simply don't expect to see cyclists and therefore don't see cyclists. So there are cyclists out there. However, what we're here to talk about today is this actual harbourfront cycleway, which has been much in demand. I mean, there's been a very large change in the way the public engagement process works, thanks to the Harbourfront Enhancement Committee and the Commission, and that's very welcome. It's been applied to the harbourfront. But we've seen time and again the engagement process bring up public calls for a cycleway along, or a cycle path as it's often described, along the harbourfront over the last 4 or 5 years. There's much more support than that. The various political parties, politicians of all stripes, NGOs, media, commentators, think tanks, have all come up with the same great idea that there should be a cycle path, a cycle way, along the harbourfront. So this idea has been floating around for a long time. But when we look at the plans that are currently in place, there's almost no sign of any harbourfront cycleway. One other point about that, the population, the comments I've seen in all the various engagement processes do seem to recognise, the people who are commenting recognise that there's a diversity of uses here. There's a leisure use as well as a transportational function. And quite a lot of the harbour planning guidelines, you know, are referred to almost directly, the idea of physical linkage and sustainable development, a people-oriented environment. It's pretty much made for bikes. Bikes means all those things. Sorry about that. So let's look at what the value of this cycleway really is. People want it, but what could it do for Hong Kong? What's the purpose of having a cycleway? Well, I'd like to highlight four key areas. The leisure function, the transport connectivity, connecting, you know, areas of Hong Kong as we know them. An extra feature of leisure, which is the tourism potential, external tourism. And then fourthly, a separate kind of connectivity, the connectivity of the harbourfront, bringing it all into one place. So let's look at those all in turn. Already in Hong Kong, every weekend there are thousands of people get out and get on their bikes, cycling, particularly on the waterfront paths in Ma'an Shan, Tala Harbour, Tai Mai Tuk, and the islands and elsewhere too. But those particular areas are hugely populated. The paths up there are packed with cyclists. So let nobody be mistaken. There's a great deal of enthusiasm for cycling and waterfront cycling already in Hong Kong, and there is indeed a lot of that taking place. There are people out there cycling for pleasure in their free time. Which also contrasts a little bit with some of the more sporty types. Some cyclists have a very showy appearance, gaudy, you might say, lycra and well-toned bodies. Perhaps they're not the primary focus of what we're looking at here. One can easily envisage that a harbourfront cycleway will have a mixture of users, and that fast-moving sports types would not generally be suited to the environment. So the second major functional area is actually getting around, you know, the length of Hong Kong. Hong Kong is a very small place. Sometimes when we take buses and trams and taxis, we forget just how close some of these urban centres, district centres are to each other. And it takes a trip on a bike to really make you realise that, you know, we're very, very close. Perhaps in a more spread out country, you might take a walk for 10, 15, 20 minutes to get somewhere in the vicinity and not think anything of it. Whereas here on a bike, you can be whipping away along the northern shore of the harbour and of Hong Kong Island, and a couple of examples on the screen there. You know, these are very short distances. I particularly like the linkage between Central Ferry Piers and Wan Chai North. You know, this is a 12 miles an hour, which is a very ordinary speed. That's a 5-minute journey. And so one can imagine people coming in from the islands and making that journey, and it saves them all the hassle of moving inland to, you know, walking from the Central Ferry Piers or the Star Ferry inland to the main artery, catching a bus or waiting for a bus or a train, maybe, you know, going down into the MTR, a short journey along that major artery, and then back out to Wan Chai North, compared with a 5-minute point-to-point journey. So there's a great deal of value there to be had. And thirdly, there's tourism. Now, the tourist board concentrates, you know, on bringing in very large numbers of people. We have, I believe, recently broken the monthly record again and had over half the equivalent of half the population of Hong Kong arriving in a single month. And among those, pretty sure there's going to be quite a few cyclists. I know that there are a great deal more cycle tourists coming to Hong Kong than perhaps most people do, because somehow they always seem to contact me. Couple on the left here, met last year. And so we don't have the figures. The Tourism Board doesn't seem to record any details of cycling or anything approximating to it. But looking over in Europe, we can see that the value of cycle tourism is potentially huge. And everybody who comes to Hong Kong cycling recognizes what a wonderful place it is to ride, because it's varied, the variation between town and countryside, the short distances. There's a lot to see here. And if we had this jewel in the center of the harbor, then we might escape the label that was given to us by David Byrne. Anybody who remembers Talking Heads, the band? David Byrne, the lead singer, is now a cycling advocate in New York. And he came here to do a show and recorded Hong Kong as being the worst cycling city in the world. I hope we can lose that epithet fairly soon. So finally, and probably most importantly, the cycleway has a function to enliven the harbourfront. It actually is going to be the connector that enables movement along the harbourfront, creating a whole new axis in parallel with the inland MTR main road axis, and therefore brings to life all the various hidden corners of the harbourfront, which are presumably exactly what we're intending to see here. Plans at the moment seem to envisage movement along that inland artery and then out to various points on the waterfront. So we're going to, of course, get concentrations of people at a few key points. We can all imagine where they are. And they'll be static. They'll be pedestrians. They'll go a few hundred yards, perhaps. But that's not really connectivity along the harbourfront. So by putting a cycle path in there, so many people would and want to and can cycle that we find a whole new economic ecosphere starting up in all sorts of corners of the harbourfront that we can't yet imagine. And surely that is the meaning of vitality. Places like Sun Yat-sen Memorial Park, which is currently being revamped, but it's still, you know, an awkward place to get to for, you know, even people living in Kennedy Town and Weston, with cycle path connectivity or cycleway connectivity, that would be overcome. So we have to say, this is all very well, you know, it would be lovely, but is it realistic? Is it feasible? Can we achieve this? Well, the first thing to note is I've been using the term cycleway. There's been much talk of a cycle path, meaning perhaps a fixed concrete strip of land laid down according to TD guidelines. And that's not how it has to be. The bicycle is a very flexible vehicle. It can be fast or slow. It can be narrow or needing space. It can be pushed. It can be, you know, the user can become a pedestrian, which certainly isn't true with a motor vehicle. So we've got here a few examples of different forms that the cycleway might take. Segregated fully, segregated by lines and using signage to control speed and movement of pedestrians and cyclists. There may be on-road sections, some of the quiet roads around, off the major roads, which just go down and touch the harbour, could be incorporated with suitable markings and signage. And even there will be some points, and we know there are some difficult areas where it may be necessary for cyclists to dismount so as to make sure that everyone feels comfortable in a mixed environment. I've already really mentioned that cycling in Hong Kong is already here. I mean, certainly on the harbourfront, on the waterfront of Sha Tin area, but all over Hong Kong over the last 15, 20 years, there's been a massive increase in cycling. I don't think anybody can have failed to notice. And cycling means many things. Cycling is sport, it's leisure, but most of all, for most people, it's a way of getting around. It's simply going to the shops, going to the office, going to school, visiting friends. Out in new territories where, to be honest, most cycling takes place, that's it's a transportational mode for many people. In Sha Tin, there was a survey in 2009 that showed that over a third of Sha Tin residents cycle at least once a week. That's a pretty significant cycling population. So I'd like to bring up a very positive point here. Already we do have one stretch of Harbourfront cycle path. Here it is. I'm sure you know all about it. It's about a mile long through the middle of the central Wanchai section of the Harbourfront. It's planned. It's obviously not cut and dried yet, but there it is. It's linking from somewhere near Star Ferry to kind of somewhere near the exhibition centre, the convention centre. Well, that's great. It's clearly intended for leisure and recreational use because it doesn't connect to anything. Wouldn't it be nice if at that western end it just stretched around to those ferry piers, but not very far away, so that people coming off the ferries could use the path, make it functional, make it useful. And at the eastern end, if those tourists perhaps arrive by ferry, they can then rent a bike or use a bike of their own and along the path and up to the Golden Bohemia. And of course, on beyond that, round to every other destination. The two options at the moment, we believe these are the alignments of the cycle path that's been proposed. Can't quite guarantee that. Another very, very interesting plus. Over the other side of the harbour, the Kai Tak development has now extended the original fairly limited cycle track to being quite a cycle network. CDD are proposing to have cycle tracks linking through and around the residential areas in the north, linking to the MTR stations, and the department and the local district councils are all very supportive of the idea that the cycle track would in fact reach round to the east, down through Kwantong and perhaps all the way down to Lei Yuen Mun, who knows. And round the west as well, there's plenty of scope for that to extend. I think Sylvester later will be talking a little bit more about what that might mean. So, the feasibility of the path, I've talked about it in the higher level. I'd like now to hand over to Sylvester to talk in some detail about where the cycleway goes and how it might be put down in practice.
Sylvester, can you do it in 10? He's taken 15 already.
Yeah, I'll try to do it in less.
Thank you.
First of all, I've joined up with these guys in looking at the technical feasibility a bit later in the game. Mart and the gentleman here, especially the work of Nick Andrew, sitting next to me here, is very impressive. It has gone through foot by foot, meter by meter, and seen where the challenges are, and surprisingly, in some way, where the easy wins can be. Let me take you through this very quickly. The ideal route, as mapped by this extensive study, is in the packet in front of you and on this double A3 size map. And essentially, it takes these multitude of route types, of ways to move around, and connects them, assuming that there are plenty of ways to design a wonderful cycleway that's compatible with pedestrian use of the waterfront. These are just some examples of ways you can achieve segregation and integration with the roads. And the color banding on this map boils it down to some very simple typologies. They're the green areas. And the green areas represent a whopping more than one-third of the 16 kilometers. These green areas are the parklands and the planned landscape improvements that very easily already or can include a cycleway. So that's fun. That's a third there already. The blue, which is the next 30%, are government lands, which have the, after scouting this out, I I trust their I trust the engineering eye of Nick, who works for Bureau Happold, actually, engineering firm, to have enough room to accommodate safely these cycleways. For some of my old friends here, I've recently become a father, 4.5 month old. So in addition to cycling advocacy, now I'm also an advocacy of very safe waterfronts for my stroller. And yet at the same time, this, you know, these solutions have balanced out to make me comfortable. The purple is very interesting. 20% is a piece along the Island Eastern Corridor, which has been raised a number of times and has a lot of support from the Eastern District, Eastern District Council. The boardwalk underneath the Island Eastern Corridor is well larger than the 4 meters minimum that's requested by TD for a minimum cycleway. It's 9 meters. So implementing that means we're creating space not only for cyclists but also for pedestrians. And then the yellow and orange areas are places where, well, cyclists do have to share the road with vehicles. But there are many ways to do that with markings and education that makes it very compatible and safe. And it only occupies around 10%, 10 to 12% of the cycleway. Finally, there's a small amount of area which is very challenging. But that small area doesn't mean that the route is not complete. Ladies and gentlemen, we do have a route already in Hong Kong. Very well, I was going to go through, but I don't think I need to. I think you've got the map in front of you. Essentially, 77% of this, about three quarters, are very easy wins. Simple adjustments that the Harbourfront Commission can take leadership and encourage these easy wins by simple repainting, inserting tracks into the park plans, opening up some of the unused or not efficiently used government lands, and implementing that boardwalk. And let me show you, these are just some of the images from the detailed report which indicate how and where these might go. And so I invite you to look through this very carefully. The boardwalk is fantastic. It's uses the existing piers. There's no private land involved. There's no intrusion into the harbor water itself, and all for the public good. So when we look underneath some of these in these photographs, we can see the climate protected, beautiful place for just this morning I saw a cyclist with his fishing rod on the back of the bike. And you've seen this image before as well. And then so what would bring us up to almost 100% would be some help from the Harbourfront Commission to coordinate a lot of the stakeholders who have existing working uses along the waterfront, the bus terminus near Kennedy Town, the barging area, and the wholesale food loading piers, and then also the stakeholders like Transport Department when we need to then combine with the highway going and accessing Hung Fa Tsing. But that's it. That's some small areas that really just take some coordination. And finally, a small bit of tight areas where cyclists and pedestrians can coexist. And it goes back to Martin's point that we're not looking to create a fast racing path. But in fact, the variety of experiences on and off the bike, just being able to understand and know that you can get from point to point, is the purpose and the goal of the route. And that includes areas like around the Noonday Gun and the gas picking station. So, In summary, it's not just about the route. The value, just like the escalators, created a whole renaissance in the Soho area, Central. Connectivity creates real estate value, it creates footfalls for retail, it creates great vibrancy opportunities, fresco dining, as Martin has illustrated. The next step with that, of course, would be facilities as well. And the report does identify a few places where parking and rental shops and the type of tourism benefits could occur along the cycleway. And once we all realize that Hong Kong is actually very easy to achieve, then we move on to the next challenge, which would be Kowloon and finishing the harbor-wide network, much like San Francisco Bay Area has the Bay Trail. There's a multi-country connected network up in the Scandinavian countries. So I think this is a very manageable and achievable result for us. It's almost there. These red circles are similar to the red circles on the Hong Kong side of places where if the Harbourfront Commission would take on and help us champion study and bring all the stakeholders together to solve some of these missing links, then we could finish it around the harbor.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairman.
Martin, Sylvester, thank you very much. As I say, a very thorough piece of work. Certainly connectivity is high on our agenda too, so this is something obviously that we will take very seriously. I suspect government departments may need time, there's a lot of detail here, and we'll need feedback from various government departments, but I just wonder whether C4T, any initial reaction, Joseph, to what you've heard?
Well, thank you, Chair, and could I just also use the opportunity to thank our friends from the Alliance for this well thought out presentation. I'll just be very brief, Mr. Chair, if I may, because as you said, there are lots of things we in particular specific points we need to go through and think through. But just a couple of points at the macro level. First, of course, as Chair and members and also the Cycling Alliance would be aware, it is not the government's policy to encourage the use of bicycle as a transport mode in urban area, and I think the reasons have all been well rehearsed, and you'll be all well aware of. Basically, it's the problem associated with the fact that we don't have a lot of road space, and we do have we do have a well-developed public transport system in Hong Kong, and road traffic is already very heavy. And so it's really a question of how to make the most of the road space we have for cyclists and other road users. But that said, of course, as Martin and his colleagues also pointed out, in the newly developed area, such as in Kai Tak, and also in new towns, the government has been doing a lot to promote and to facilitate cycling. There will be a cycling network in Kai Tak, and the CEDD, they are also doing a huge project linking up all the trunk cycle track amongst the nine new towns, and that is a very ambitious project which is going on and will be done in phases starting from 2013. So the government as a whole is doing more on in the new territories and in the newly developed areas, partly because we have more room to maneuver, physically room to maneuver in those areas. So when we look at the proposals put forth by the Alliance, we will be considering in particular the feasibility of the proposal. I mean, how that can be achieved, whether that can be done, and at what cost, not only in monetary terms, but also vis-a-vis the convenience of other road users. And there's also the safety angle to consider. So these are all the things which we need to look at when I take these very interesting proposals back to the office for discussion with my colleagues. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Members, I would suggest we don't get involved in a debate about government policy, whether we support or otherwise. I think let's accept for the purpose of this exercise we have a challenge with policy which we need to deal with. But I think for purpose of today, let's look at the merits of this as a proposal in the context of our role as the Harbourfront Commission. Policy is something we may have to deal with, we'll have to deal with. But could you keep, rather than if you're not like getting involved in challenging government's policy, let's look at the merits of this as a proposal when you make your comments. I think that would be far more useful. Proponent, what I suggest we do is let's stack the questions if we can, or stack the points, and then when we've had six people speak, then you can have a chance to respond. I think that would probably be the best way to do it. Who would like to comment on what they've heard? Peter?
Okay. Well, I should start out by saying that in principle I'm all for cycleways. We designed and built the first fully integrated cycleway system in the new towns 30 years ago, and we'd also built and designed much of the New Territories cycleway system. The town system is certainly a means of transport as well as recreation. The NT system is almost entirely recreational, and we will, soon as just been said, have nearly 100 kilometres of recreational cycle tracks around the NT. So we actually, you know, we can talk about San Francisco or anywhere else, but we actually do have a very good and a very extensive cycleway system. So the question is, can this in a similar way be related to the harbourfront? Well, I do think we have to be careful here. I don't think the issue is if we can actually insert cycle tracks. It is really whether they can comfortably fit with other uses, often in very tight situations. I'm far from convinced that engineered cycle paths of the type that we have around the NT along the central harbourfront can necessarily fit comfortably into pedestrian promenades and pedestrian places, which is something we're all trying to achieve. I'm also unconvinced that in the urban area, certainly along the northern side of Hong Kong Island, this would be a viable form of transport that would justify a separately engineered cycle track. So as such, I don't think that items 8, 9 and 10 that are down here are really valid. Cycle tracks are not key integrating elements for a viable waterfront. You can have an integrated and a viable waterfront without any kind of cycle tracks. What we're looking for are people places. Incidentally, just a point of correction too, the IEC boardwalk, which we actually designed, is 5 metres, it's not 9 metres. It will be actually very difficult in these sort of situations to integrate an active, separated cycle track. Now, allowing cyclists to use promenades in an informal way, as they do in, say, the Shaw Kee Wan waterfront areas, is fine by me. Short stretches are often quite good because, in practice, they appeal to children and families who come with small children with small bikes and so on, rather than the lycra-clad variety of cyclists. But the key really is compatibility with pedestrian movement and activities. There is a difference between pedestrian connectivity and enjoyment, something we've still not achieved. I mean, this is one of the basic goals of our commission. But nothing should happen, in my opinion, to compromise pedestrian access, comfort, and perambulation. That should be the first criteria. So I could make just one final comment that if the NCR and the KCR actually allowed cycle owners to carry bikes onto trains, then in a few years when we have our Sha Tin Central link, we'd have a direct link within two or three stops to Taiwai and Sha Tin, where people can cycle for 100 kilometres around the NT, which I think is a very, very good recreational system. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Anybody else wish to comment? Paul, please. Vincent, please. Sorry. Vincent, go first. Sorry.
Thank you, Chairman. time for the association to give us a very, very comprehensive report, and I think a lot of work has been done, and the work is very much appreciated. Personally, I would support, have my support on having our harbourfront that can be, well, enjoyed by cyclists. Now, of course, this is not a straightforward issue, and I understand that. Well, because the pedestrian, you know, put it in simple term. If you ask me whether this cycle track along the harbourfront would conform to the harbour planning principle, I would say yes. So it definitely provide a vibrancy to the harbourfront, and you would want to have more people enjoying the waterfront in having large varieties of activity in whatever mode. Of course, I certainly understand that. Well, we are, of course, they are competing user on the harbourfront, and our current waterfront may not be readily available to accommodate all the people, cyclists, dogs and pets. You know, I know Paul would give me an alarm, you know. Well, as a matter of fact, well, think the dilemma now is that, well, the pedestrian has just started to enjoy the waterfront, you know. So and then here comes all these cyclists and dogs and pets. You know, of course, people will be cautious, and I would not underestimate the caution given by the community. However, I would say in long term, as a vision, the waterfront need to be enjoyed by pedestrian, pets, and cyclists. Of course, the design need to, well, cater for this. You know, if you think of the width of the harbourfront promenade, if you want to think of the design of the waterfront promenade, and then that need to be taken into consideration. And what I do not want to see is that three separate trail separated by layers of fences to separate or curbs to separate the dogs, the cyclists, and the pedestrians. And that is actually a design challenge. I'm certain that the Kitek chief would share with me on this when when he planned the Kitek waterfront and how to make it accommodating to different things. Yet this is not designed like a cycle track along the highway or a major road, because that is infrastructure. But well, cycler on waterfront is a amenity, so the design need to be less engineered like a highway structure. That is a big challenge. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Paul?
Chairman, in the North Sea and my country where I'm born, Holland, 6,000 kilometers of waterfront cycling routes through six countries have been established. We're looking here at 75 kilometers. I mean, they did 6,000 kilometers, we can do 75 kilometers. Of course, there are other challenges, and I think TD has pointed them out. But I must point out, though, Chairman, that currently I have cycled all the way from the start of that blue line all the way to the end of the blue line at 16. Not the route that is marked here. But there are an existing road legal route all the way from the left of Kennedy Town all the way to the right of Chai Wan. And people cycle it. I've cycled it. So I think what the proposal here is, and I hope that Martin and his team can confirm that we're looking at an enhancement of an existing route, an existing road legal cycling route, and making improvements. And I don't think that the ultimate objective should be that they have the waterfront edge. But I think that as far as practical, as close as possible to the waterfront will be a really good connectivity. Nobody's going to walk that 15 kilometers easily, But I think a lot of people are going to cycle that 15 kilometers quite easily in a few hours. Whereas people, you know, as we saw on our Hung Ham walk the other day, the only time we started to meet people was when we came down to the drop-off point for the Avenues of Stars. And before that, other than people within our group, the people that we came across were maybe a few speckled along the waterfront. But people tend to be within a few meters of a transport interchange or a. The Harbourfront Enhancement Committee financed my visit to Singapore. The East Coast Park has exactly what we see here: a cycle track and a pedestrian route integrated on one tarmac, with a line through the middle and a couple of signage to say which side is for the pedestrian, which side is for the cyclist. I asked the manager of the park how much conflict they have and how many accidents they had, and he pointed out that there was one narrow bit in the park where when they started they had some conflict, but it took a few months for it to resolve as people got used to each other, because the people that tend to use these routes tend to be the same people. It's the same pedestrian and the same cyclist. The chances you're going to have somebody else there is going to be very limited. So I think we're going to get people start to get used to each other and start to learn. If at some stage, Chairman, we find out that something is not possible in a certain area, we can always push back the cyclist away from the pedestrians if there are conflicts. But a priori, deciding it's not possible and therefore design it without cycling in mind, it will never be possible. So I think we should design for it to be possible and then learn to live with it and then see how we can improve step by step. To start off with, Hung Ham Promenade, there's enough space there to allow cyclists to go all the way to the Mill Centre, as I saw on Saturday. So from our point of view, Chairman, we would fully support the proposal of recognising as the Harbourfront Commission a cycling route, which is as much as practicable along the waterfront, and that we make incremental improvements to that cycling route and try to move it towards the waterfront. But let's start recognising one that is possible. So what I'd like to invite this team, if they can come back with a second map which shows the existing route as well as the most practical route that can be implemented today if we just put a better signage up. And then the ideal route is something we can dream of and work towards, but that is then the next stage as we can incrementally improve. But could you please provide us with a map which shows us the existing and the most practical route, please?
Thank you. Please, Clement.
Chairman, first of all, in principle, I'm also very much in favor of this idea of having these cycling paths. It seems to me to be a very good idea. I think my comments are not very different from what Paul and Peter and so on have said already, but it seems to me that we are in the midst of a strategic planning exercise. Now, I'm not necessarily up to date on where we are on the different elements of that plan and what we have decided and not in different areas of that harbourfront. But it seems to me that I would be a little bit uncomfortable without knowing how this bike path would fit in with that strategic plan. And I think, as somebody said just now, it doesn't necessarily have to go right along the edge of the waterfront or along the route that we're talking about. But it seems to me that we need to be careful about what we commit on the shoreline to a cycle path before we start sort of having anything being committed, as it were. I think this is something that Vincent was referring to also. I'm personally, not being an engineer or anything else, a little bit concerned about the design and how the thing would be presented. I think a lot of effort needs to be put into that. Of course, we all envisage, nice, soft sort of thing with greenery around it and, the sort of scene that we might see in Paul's homeland, but it could turn out differently if we're not careful about how we sort of go about sort of presenting it. Again, being a layman, I'm not sure how big an issue parking would be, because it seems to me that if we're talking about beyond recreational use to people, getting off a ferry and going to work, then presumably they're going to have to park their bike somewhere, and I just have no idea of the scale of space and parking facilities that would be required to support that type of vision of use. I guess, for me, up to now, my vision, might be wrong, is that people might, you know, bring their bike along, go and ride around for a while and then take it home, not necessarily to have a situation where a bike is being used as something that you need to park during the day. So those are just some of my thoughts,
Thank you.
Chairman.
Thank you very much. Please.
All right. Thank you, Chairman. My thoughts are, I think that we are all aligned in the terms of we do encourage the cycling part in terms of connectivity and pharmacy. But from my point of view, I think that, as we mentioned, there is already a cycle path going on. And I think that we have to analyze what is realistic and what can be done, because there's many utilities that's already been built along the waterfront right now, which will take time and cost to move. So that actually the cycle path doesn't have to be along the waterfront, because when you're actually cycling, you can't actually enjoy the view itself, because you're actually riding forward, following the road. So what is the priority of putting in the waterfront? Secondly, I think that I think it's good to have a waterfront, but we have to have a balance where if we can get a majority of the route along the waterfront, then some of the routes can actually go inland and come back out, because no one likes riding on a straight road. We always like a scenery road up a hill, downhill. So I think that could be taken into consideration. Secondly, I think maybe quite useful for the members is that looking at examples around the world, one thing that I can think of is London. London has implemented the cycling in the last 2 years leading up to the London Olympic Games in 2012. We all want to sell the image of a low-carbon city. I think that Hong Kong would want to encourage the so-called low carbon and the sporting movement and connectivity and vibrancy. But at the same time, I think London is also a town that's been designed a long, long time ago with a lot of small roads. But by implementing these cycling routes now with these blue bikes around, maybe we can use that as a case study to look at how do they overcome some of these challenges. And secondly, as you mentioned, it's not about the routes, it's about the parking and what target audience we're looking for. So maybe we can get some kind of cost from of the model that London uses, because by implementing these bikes, they're not just about building the routes, but they're providing the bikes, which are also sponsored by Barclays, which is a private sector interaction as well, where there is a number of gateways or stops along the London so-called such an international busy city, and people can rent bikes and actually park it and rent bikes from the different zonings. So I think this could be quite a relevant case study for the members to be provided some information, and it could be a good benchmark for us to go forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Maggie?
Sorry, I was just looking at finding how much was... It's really quite a small amount, it looks, is already being proposed on this route, a shared space, which seems to be the only place that roads are mentioned. And so there doesn't seem to be too much use being proposed of public roads. If one was going to perhaps take the route that had been suggested, that you do have some of, quite a lot of this is rental bikes and for use along and linking the waterfront, there wouldn't really be very much imposition on the traffic on public roads, which might be rather helpful if you were looking at this in the round in view of policies. But in general speaking, it would help link west to east, east to west, which in some of these bigger schemes that we're looking at on the waterfront would definitely help to generate greater vibrancy along the waterfront and justify having some additional attractions that people might find interesting.
Good. Martin, Sylvester, do you want to pick up some of those comments? Let's treat this as an initial dialogue, shall we? Because obviously there's going to be more discussion going forward.
Sure. Lots to respond, and thank you, everybody. One theme that seemed to come out a lot, which is not the first time we've heard, is this perception that there are cyclists and there are pedestrians, and that somehow they're as different as dogs. Dogs are always dogs. No, you can put a dog in a car, in a house, on a bicycle. It's still a dog. But when a person gets off his bicycle, he's a pedestrian. And so I think we should take account of the key point that we were trying to push, is that the enabling function of bicycles. There's something which came up very strongly in the local meetings between planning department and residents and district councillors in eastern Hong Kong that I attended. People who came along to those meetings, I'm not sure, but apparently without having necessarily come with a cycling agenda, were very quick to recognize that cycling was something that enabled them. It wasn't for people called cyclists. Cyclists are not a category of people who are in conflict necessarily with pedestrians. And in particular, on this cycleway, what we're envisaging is very far from the cycle track, where the objective is to put your head down and drill through to the other end. This is for getting around. This is a connectivity, collective facility. So yeah, pedestrians, cyclists, they're the same thing. One of them is the bike next to him, and one of them is under him. Competition is not there. What do we have here? A lot of things to agree with there. The idea that the design needs to be much less engineered than some tracks and paths. Yes, very much so. And as Paul pointed out, there are plenty of examples. You know, hundreds and hundreds of cities and places around the world that have done all this before. We've got the great advantage of being last. And so we can look and see how mixing of pedestrians and cyclists and all these other issues have been overcome. They've all been overcome before. The question of Hong Kong being having streets that are too narrow or too fast, or it's too rainy or too hilly or whatever the other reasons are, I never quite buy this idea that Hong Kong is so fundamentally different that the rules don't apply. Every city is different, and cities all around the world have taken up cycling, both from a top-down and a popular approach. They all seem to have made it work. I've never heard of a city that did not have a successful cycling policy over the last 20 years. I do believe that Hong Kong can find its own way, taking on all these other lessons. What else do we have here? Paul's point about the incremental process, the stage-by-stage process. This is very, very important. It's perhaps something that we didn't bring out strongly enough. The idea that the current cyclists in Hong Kong, people who want to ride, and there's plenty of them on a Harbourfront ride recently, where we had 1,000 cyclists riding from one end of Hong Kong to the other, from just this route, from Kennedy Town to Sau Kee Wan. Many of those people were newbies. There were people who don't regularly cycle on the road because they would cycle on the path. And they would probably, at least initially, stay in that protected area. Those who have more skills, the road skills, would make their own way out of that area. But everybody knows their limits and would take advantage of that. Sylvester, do you want to jump in? I can go on.
I think many of the comments are appreciated. Thank you. It seems like we're all on a very similar path, as it were. Sorry for the pun. I think Peter brought up some very good points about the existence of cycle tracks and paths and recreational routes throughout the throughout all of Hong Kong. In fact, where I live now in Tung Chung is a fantastic place for long-distance riding. Now, the funny thing is when I see on the weekend sometimes half of the cyclists who decide to go out to Tung Chung are walking their bikes, partly because it's a very long path. In my field, I find even the professional golfers, for example, they say that there's an emergence of a type of golf course which is not the full 18-hole anymore, and they encourage it. Why is that? Why only 5 or 6 holes? It's because the folks who are new to the sport or new to the experience get bite-sized chunks. I think that's what we're talking about. It's a series of bite-sized pieces along the whole waterfront that together is connected, but it gives us a chance not just to ride through from one end to the other of the harborfront, but ride too. And that too is the... I would love to have my bike sitting next to me as much as under me with the beer in hand on the waterfront.
A couple of other details, perhaps. Issue of parking was raised. Yep, absolutely needs to be addressed. There are lots of exciting ways of putting parking in place. All the parking facilities for motor vehicles have plenty of capacity for absorbing bikes. Bikes are very small. They rack well. They can stack. So you know, a car parking space can be holding a dozen or more bicycles. There are corners and nooks and crannies in Hong Kong that can take bikes. And buildings, you know, commercial buildings, if people are cycling to work there, should be ready and willing to provide that parking space, and most of them can do that without too much trouble. A comment about cyclists don't have time to look at the view as they're riding along. Come and try cycling. It's in an environment that you're not surrounded by busy motor vehicles. Sure, you can enjoy the view almost all the time, and that would be very welcome. Certainly, we're not expecting or envisaging the cycle routes to be directly along the waterfront. There's no need for that. This is about enabling the waterfront. So cycling along the waterfront and getting somewhere, and then getting off and being a pedestrian and enjoying the waterfront. You walk over the 10, 20 meters to the waterfront and enjoy it and fish or chat with your friends or have a beer or whatever it's going to be. And then you can get back on the bike and go another 3 or 4 kilometers to the next place. And that's what I mean about the cycleway enabling the waterfront. Peter didn't quite agree with me, but I really feel very sure that the full length of the waterfront would not be equally used unless there is a connectivity along it. We would end up with a focus of people at a few points that were accessible from inland and with other dead areas in between them. People just don't walk that far. How long may I go on for?
Maybe you draw a line now, okay. Only in the sense that there may be other comments from members, which
that
might
be fine.
You might benefit
Thank
from.
Thank you, Seven.
Yeah. Please, anybody wish to say anything? PY?
Well, can I throw in a wild card here? We're talking about different categories or different groups of people or users sharing some space, right? So the wild card is, how about swimmers and people who play canoe and people who play speed boats and ferry boats, right? So there are different groups of people. We all enjoy the water service. We all want to use it. And they have different behavior. They have different capabilities of mobility and moving about. And even in the group of called cyclists, there are different classes. They are professionals, they are beginners, and so on, and pedestrians. Let's not forget about the aging population. There are people who are infirm, and we also have prams for babies. We have different types of behavior, and people use the space at different times of the day and the week or the season. Sometimes they all get together and come to some point of conflict, and sometimes indeed there's nobody else there. You can have all the space to your own, right? So this is perhaps a matter of devil in the detail. So if we find that some cycle tracks, very long ones that work out well, it's because they link up one town to another, from Tai Po to Sha Tin, for example, and it's not because the distance, which is smaller now we're talking about, around the harbour, that makes the problem lesser. It's exactly because the space is shorter, smaller, and it is becoming more difficult because we have more people. It's in the centre of the city. So I just like to throw in the marker here.
Thank you, PY. Andy?
Chairman, actually, PY is... make the same point as I'm going to make. Basically, I think I have a mixed feeling on the proposal. In fact, I love the idea, and I was a keen cyclist back in school days, cycling from Sha Tin to Sha Tau Kok, many years ago, but I gave it up after the experience that I found it too dangerous. Until recent year, now we have a very nice cycling track along Toto Harbour. I think what we're talking about here is not something like what we have had, and also we're going to plan for in new territories. We're talking about something really in the most developed urban areas with a very high density environment. Personally, I love the idea of actually cycling along the waterfront. I did it overseas. Now, Paul, I know you're from Holland. I think in Amsterdam and Rotterdam, I think it's so popular that actually some of the cycle track actually been some sort of monopolized by cyclists. You find it, you're minority. You're walking on foot. But I think in Hong Kong, I think realistically, I think do we really need to come up with such a continuous route from east to west? I think some of the area, I think is, I have to say, there's practically no go. And at the same time, I think now we need to reconsider or revamp the mindset of the other road users. Sometimes I think that's what PY has said. I think it's difficult for us to squeeze in every users within the available limited areas. And the second point I want to make is now, bicycle, I think you need to consider where it comes and where it goes, where they come, and I think it's basically two types of bicycles. One is now just the bicycle rental system like that what they have in European cities that's so popular that you can just rent on one spot and then return it on the other spot, and you need a very good system of management and operators. The second source, I think, is self-owned bicycles. I know now it's very popular. Just a few days ago, my friend saying that he had bought a very nice bicycle of 60,000, 70,000 Hong Kong dollars just for fun. Yeah, this is becoming a nice hobby. I think if you are aiming at those on the second category, I think we are also considering how these people move their bicycle from their home to the cycling way. We need to consider there may be some sort of a corresponding sort of planning consideration around the area, because any most of the area behind the waterfront is so much occupied by highways and major thoroughfares. I really doubt that actually it can work. I think we may have to be practical to consider whether we can only aim at a certain part of the waterfront to be used by bicycles. For example, I think the Island Eastern Corridor, actually last week I was about to raise the idea of actually we can widen the boardwalk and provide that sort of facility for recreational cyclists. But I think whether or not we should put that as one whole overall concept, one from the east to west, I doubt very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. Members, I think I'm going to draw a line now. As I said to Martin Sylvester, I mean, this is part of an ongoing dialogue, I think, from here on in, if you like. Clearly, government departments need to take this away and react and respond and come back to us. I think we need time to digest as well. I mean, I think from my perspective, just listening to comments, clearly there's support in terms of the general direction. But there are obviously some practical challenges, if you like. I've just jotted down some of the words that were being used. Prioritisation, compatibility, segregation, engineered solutions. These are all things, I mean, these are not things that can't be overcome, but obviously they're issues that members are concerned about. I quite like the idea, and again, we can talk about this at the task force, of taking Hong Kong Island as the pilot and running with a pilot, working that up in detail, working with the task force on that particular assignment. And as Paul was suggesting, taking what is the existing route, if you like, and seeing how, in practical terms, we can over time enhance that so that becomes ultimately a potential route, 16-kilometre route from east to west. But I think for today, perhaps we could leave it there. As I say, I think we're on side in terms of where we want to go. It's just how we get there, and we need to work with you on the ultimate solution. Are you happy on that score?
Yes, indeed. And thank you very much for bringing us here and hearing us.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, and thank you for the quality of the presentation.